Hi, everyone. My name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, The Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. And the other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything, too. You know, that small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world.
All right, everyone. So we have a special episode for you today. We are here with Eduardo Belloni. And, you know, as some of you know, Eduardo does all of our notation for My Music Masterclass. And he's from Brazil. So I'd like to say, oi, tudo bem?
Oh, that's cool.
That's all I got, by the way. That's it.
You don't need more than that.
That's it. My Portuguese is gone. So unless we can't continue this in Portuguese, that was it. Yeah, I could say, "Oi, Eduardo, tudo bem?"
And then if I reply to in Portuguese, will be
nothing.
A disaster.
Yeah, nothing.
He'll just be rude.
Okay. Oh man, but I need to say that my English is not the best English in the world.
That's all right. You're all basically right, an American.
I will try to survive here.
So how are you doing, man? How is where are you right now? Are you near Sao Paulo?
Yeah, I'm almost about 2 hours from São Paulo, mm-hmm. and I live in a countryside because it is quieter. I mean, it is cool. It is cheaper.
Yeah,
but the air, it is good. I mean, everything it is good, but it's only two hours from São Paulo. Then when I need to do some gig, I just take the car and go to São Paulo and come back to here.
So is there still football over there in the countryside?
I'm not sure because I'm not a football guy. No. And I would like to be, but I'm not.
Yeah, everywhere in Brazil when I was there, it was like people running around just watching games, especially in São Paulo. It was awesome.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's football is like really big everywhere except for America.
It's getting there, though. It's getting there.
I know. Well, we have a different football, which makes no sense because the real football you play with your feet, which makes a lot of sense.
That meme going around.
Of course, Americans had to change it, and they're like, "No, football! Like you take a ball and you hold it, and then you run with it to people that are about 400 pounds, and you see if you can get through them." Like that should just be called like death trap, you know? But
oh man, but I'm not a football guy.
No,
at all.
Me either. Either of them, both of them, American or
yeah, know. We are musicians, right? Musicians,
yeah,
doesn't do these kind of stuff.
I mean, big into sports, but soccer, you know, football, American, mm-hmm. whatever, they attack your feet, and I was like, not okay with that because I'm very fast, mm-hmm. so they wanted me to play soccer, but I was like, I don't want to be running full speed and have someone try to take my feet out.
Well, they'll slide tackle your ass,
yeah.
It's not fun for me. Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't like it at all.
Out here, the COVID restrictions are starting to lighten up a little bit. How is it?
There's nothing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But how is it there? Is it still in lockdown a little bit? Or is everyone gigging again? Or what's going on?
I mean, we have the worst president in the time, by the time
no
here.
No way.
Worse than ours nothing. Was?
No. We've had bad presidents for like decades now.
Well, no, I think it's everyone has their problems. Yeah. I've heard about your president too. I know what you're doing. Yeah. Exactly.
But like our greatest president still cheated on his wife. You know what I mean? Like Kennedy. Like we're like, oh, John F. Kennedy's the greatest. He slept with Marilyn Monroe. Come on. We all know.
Yeah, but I mean, people try to move on here. But the COVID are still strong here. And then in the hospitals are completely almost full.
Really?
Yeah. So then has some guys that trying to do some gigs, but I'm not trying to do that because it is too complicated to just go out and do like one or two gigs for, and maybe you got the COVID and it is not a good thing. No. Especially here in Brazil.
But you're not, you don't need it. Like, you're not doing badly right now as far as like finance in that sense.
I'm very busy because every time I'm trying to do the gigs, and I have one home studio here that I record some steps, just here. Like I record guitars here, and then I teach a lot, and I do my Music Master Class charts. That it is a cool thing. But since the COVID start, I just stopped the gigs and tried to teach like the full time that I can do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And apparently it works, but it took me the whole day. But it is good because it is a good experience, like as a professor, like teach every day, because I mean the whole day teaching. And nowadays I'm doing that. It is good because I'm learning a lot.
Yeah.
Well, if it's good money too.
Yeah, it could be a lot worse. Like there's people that only play and they're just in real trouble. You know, I mean, if playing is your only option, and if you're in a city, like I had a friend that lived in Rio for years, and you know, a lot of Americans think that it would be cheaper, but he was like, no, not if you live in Rio, it's like, or Sao Paulo, it's a lot of money, and the amount that you make and the amount that you pay for rent, it doesn't work out like that. You know, it's expensive.
That's the reason that I lived here, because here I have my own house with my own studio. If I pay this amount of money that I used to pay here for build my house, I was living like in a small apartment and spent a lot of money. So I started thinking about maybe it was not a good thing, but it's not a smart thing to move to São Paulo, that it is a busy city. Because I can do a lot of things here and just go to São Paulo to do the gigs and come back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So if you have like a good money teaching situation, then you don't have to play gigs that you don't want to play. So it can just be your
that's
music.
That's the point.
That's like the goal for a lot of people. I want to try to start doing that. I need to focus on music again and try to figure that out. But
I think you have to move 2 hours out of LA. That's the difference.
I know.
I mean, not 2 hours out of LA is like 10 miles, unfortunately. Yeah. The traffic is so bad.
10 hours.
Yeah, I saw. But, and then that's the problem, because when I start to teach here, I start to think, okay, this will be like a test, like for people just like smoke for a while and just stop for 1 year.
All right.
Yep. And I start thinking, okay, if I can do money in this year, I don't will come back to do gigs that I don't like.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So there was a point where you were in Boston. The listeners don't know that. So Eduardo wanted to come and gig and do some stuff in the U.S. And it was under our last administration, so it was obviously difficult. He got in with a college visa, right? An educational visa?
Sure.
Yeah. Right. And you were in Boston at Berkeley just to get your foot in. And then you had some crazy stuff happen, right? Didn't your apartment burn down or something crazy?
Yeah, man. Can you imagine that? Yeah.
Really?
Really. Oh, man, it was a super weird trip, because I attended like one competition for Lee Ritenour. And then I applied, and then I was like a semi-finalist. And as a side prize of competition, I received like one appointment to do the interview for Berkeley and received like a kind of scholarship. And then I received this scholarship and I decided to try, but it is expensive, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I know that it is expensive in America, but for us, like Brazilian, like with the dollar, like by the time it was four, but was hard. And since then, when I moved to Boston and I started to do gigs and I started to move on, my apartment catch a fire and the whole building catch a fire. And I was in there by the time.
Did you lose a lot of gear?
Yeah, I was like one a really good strat, like amp and the whole documents and the whole clothes. I only saved like one guitar, and it was that. And then I moved to places like 8 times. The professor are trying to help me, but the problem by the time was that I was like in a good position like, as a musician, but I never did college before. So then I need to do like classes like liberal arts, and classes like that that was not super cool, and it was a lot of money to finish this.
That's the thing. It's like you would figure if you're coming from overseas,
why would
that they would
that?
Not have to do electives? Like it's like I'm not paying to take, you know, basic science classes or whatever. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, like, that seems or that seems like unfair. English, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, English class for me was good, but but I mean, to pay this amount of money to learn English, I don't think so.
No.
And then I start to ask to the college like, what can we do? Because I'm not sure if I will finish the semester. And Berkeley offered me after I tried to have a lot of conversation. And then Berkeley offered me like, okay, you can come back to Brazil and you can receive your money back and we can leave you in the college with one credit to attend the college. And I did that. And when I saw the opportunity to take the money back, I get the money back.
because of course,
the Berkeley was a super cool thing.
Well, it's good. And they want you as well. They want people from overseas.
They did
to come study there. So it's
and
like
you didn't come.
They're getting a lot out of it.
Yeah, and you didn't come as a kid. You were already like you weren't 20 years old. You know.
Yeah, for sure. I am 22 just now, but
22.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, man. Me too. So is Jake. I was 22 at one point though. So that is half true.
Yeah, me too. And that was the point because I tried to establish my career in U.S., but my wife was here in Brazil.
Yeah, that's
and then when I came back to Brazil, I need to do the whole documents again and apply everything again. And the price of dollar was, by the time it was 4, but nowadays it's like 5. Right. And I saw my house, I saw my studio, my dogs. And I said, oh, maybe not this time, maybe later, but not now. And it was Trump by the time. It was a hard to
keep shedding, and they're going to want you as a teacher. They're going to be asking you to come over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Yeah. I mean, it's important to get whatever you want together as an artist by yourself. And then you can do what you want. You know what I mean? Like if you want to come to the U.S. eventually, maybe things will be better at that point. But there's definitely no rush, especially this year because everything was closed down. So let's say you were in Boston. What were you going to do in 2020? Nothing.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that because, and by the time I was thinking about the cold too, because I'm living in a hot city and when you used to live in a hot city, you start thinking like, oh, okay, maybe I like the cold because here is always.
No.
but no, no way, no.
It's fun. And it's fun for a couple of days.
No, it's not.
Oh,
fun
man,
at all.
It's not fun at all.
Totally. Like, yes.
And I remember that I did a gig, and it was snowing by the time, and it was hard to walk. The street.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was completely lost because I need to get some texts to come back to the house and I don't have the texts.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I will die freezing here. Oh man, it was not fun. I mean,
And then a stranger said, "Tudo bem." You said, "Not good."
not good, bro.
Not
no
good.
Bien.
No bien. No, that's more Spanish, but yes.
I just go Spanish. Yeah, that's the closest I got. That works.
And I remember that one person asked it to me, like, it is maybe, I'm not sure, you can correct me, but one person just asked me like, "Oh, how is going?" And I said, "Oh, it's going."
It's going.
Like, yeah, it's going. Like, because in Brazil, you have to say that.
That's actually a Boston answer. Hey, how's it going? It's going.
It's going.
Yeah, getting some attitude.
I mean, that just would, if someone said that to me, it would just mean that, like, things are okay. You know, that's it is what it is. If it was going well, you'd say, good, good. Everything is really well. Or like, my apartment burned down. It's terrible.
And I have some friends that used to say like, oh, how is it going? And I said, okay, just okay. My apartment catch a fire, but everything's okay.
No, I mean, so what are you doing now for your own stuff? Have you been writing? Have you been doing stuff a lot in your home studio to kind of get a new material together?
And I never know what the hell you're saying. I'm like, it sounds like he's doing awesome stuff. And I'm just like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Subtitle.
That's the problem, because I start to teach and I was thinking if I start to get more students from internet would be cool. So then I start to do like open classes and try to help people and try to film some class that I do and post on the internet, because I would like to release a course here in Brazil for students here.
You should.
Yeah, because the most important thing that I see, because people would like to learn the advanced players, like how the advanced players play. And every time one cat or two asked me like, oh, can you explain like how this guy does that? But people doesn't have the bases. The bases are super like fluffy. it's not like a solid base. So then I start to do this work to talking about music, to talking about the bass.
Yeah.
To release a course. And then this took me some time to do, like, to be present on the internet, because to me it's super hard, but because I'm trying to post a lot, sometimes it is exhausting, but it is cool, because I receive like a bunch of students nowadays that's super cool.
Good. Yeah, I mean, if you get to a point where you think you could do a webinar and like for your Brazilian audience, you could use our software, you know, and
that's cool.
And we can figure something out. But I mean, you know, it's a good software. People can ask questions. Like, you can invite them on the screen. It's good to get students. It's all that stuff.
It's like what Peter does. Peter gets a lot of students out of that, I think.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like, webinars are helpful, and of course, the students can watch the replays and all that stuff as well.
Sure. I need to discover how can I do the audio and the video quality to have that, because I have like some mics here, but I don't have the camera.
Right.
There's a lot of options. Yeah. But the problem is that I'm super slow with the technology to understand how to do that. And sometimes I just open the phone and do like an Instagram
live. You really
don't
need much though. I mean, it depends how. If you have a nice laptop, then that's everything, especially if you have like a solid state drive, because that's going to be, you know, the driving force. But you don't, I say you don't need DSLRs. You could definitely use webcams. Like, these Razors would work. If you got two USB webcams and put one so you can switch it to your guitar neck, and then one that's like a talk cam, because you could switch even in Zoom, in most things you can just switch real fast. That's what I was doing when I was teaching like ukulele and stuff like that. And then the audio, I mean, if you have an audio interface, you're done. That's, you know, you can set up however many mics you want. That's your input.
Yeah, you know,
but you don't need
part.
To buy like an expensive camera.
No, the thing with cameras too is that, like, I'm using a very nice camera right now, but it still depends. And from what I'm seeing, it looks perfect. But once it goes to the internet, it can get fuzzy. Like, I don't know what you're seeing on your end. So it's like, that's always the problem with video, is that, you know, you do the best you can and you try to get the best signal you can. But if one of your people that's watching has bad internet, then it's not going to look great, right?
You could definitely
probably do it with like $100
like $150
webcam.
Yeah,
but that's the second problem, because $100 here to buy it is not the same price.
Right.
That is a negative point here in Brazil.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
The price of the equipment here is ridiculous. I need to buy like when I travel, and then okay.
But I see. Even if it's like Amazon or something.
Yeah. Yeah, because the price is completely different. It's not like the price is that plus five, that is the price of dollar. No.
Right.
It's like plus like five, and then has like a Bolsonaro tax that took your whole money.
I was
going
to say, let's just order stuff for him and then send it, but the shipping
I would send it to you, but I know that
the shipping would even out.
They'll probably open it up and like tax you $100 million on it or something.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. Welcome to Brazil.
In terms of like everything there, is your wife is working and everything at this time, or is it just you?
Yeah. My wife used to have a store, like a home decor store.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's the reason that my studio are cool, because my wife is a
home designer. Is that actually brick, or is that?
It's just wallpaper. No, it's
is it
no, no, it is a brick.
It's a brick, right?
Yeah. It is a brick. My wife just closed this store because doesn't have like place to like pay the rent, and no one can attend.
Yeah.
So then she starts to work, like to go to the house and do the job to attend people. That
like interior
at
designer.
At this point, it is cool. But some guys here in Brazil not really can do, but can try do a different things to move on. But some people just stay stuck in one place. Like I used to do that, but nowadays I cannot do that, and then I will stay here and cry. And in Brazil it is hard, but you need to try. It's the same thing in the whole world. You need to try to see ways to receive money for the thing that we do.
Agreed. Yeah. You have to do whatever you can. You know, that's
sure.
The whole point of it. So you got into transcribing. I met you through Jonathan Kreisberg when you were working on his video for my music masterclass, and Eduardo did the notation. And Eduardo did a great job, and he ended up doing it for us. A lot of people, I don't know if everyone understands the benefit of transcribing. I mean, maybe they do. I always preach that transcribing is probably the best thing that you can do for your playing. I mean, how did you feel that it's helped you? I know that we talked about your English getting better because you had to actually listen to all them talk.
Sure.
But how do you feel when you transcribe these videos? Do they help your playing as well?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. It's better that, in my point of view, was better than any college. Of course, I lost the opportunity to play with another guys or to stay in the United States, but the material are so dense, are so intense that I learn a lot. And that's some classes that I used to think that in the same way, but I'm not sure if I could do that by the time, because I used to think that way. But when I saw guys like Peter Burstein saying, okay, you need to do that, it's like a certified that you think in the right way.
Yeah.
And when I start to, I always transcribe it a lot. But when I start to transcribe the classes, would like to transcribe just the exercise. I would like to transcribe the whole stuff.
Yeah,
I know. And of course, took me forever.
But the last one was Nelson.
Yeah.
Last one was Nelson Veras, and that was impossible. Yeah. I mean,
man, I had like a red eye because I. Oh man, I was so
popped a blood vessel.
Yeah, man, and I was so pissed off with this class, like, because I didn't understand some some subjects and you need to see what he played and come back and see and come back like a thousand times. Well, it was, and then when you realize the feeling is like, oh, motherfucker, I got you.
Especially because it was all based in those scales that he's known for.
It's like Messiaen.
Yeah, like that's just not normal.
It's not normal at all, but it's so cool. Like what he's doing is so nice. It's so interesting. You know,
it is so organized because you can list how he changed. The good thing is that because I wrote like maybe it was like a third and something page. And when you start to realize the way that he does that, start to learn too, like okay.
But even it's harder because he's not picking, and like if you watch
a classical
or flamenco guitar player, like it's hard to catch that right hand what they're doing on the string.
But the point to me, of course, it was hard, but the way that he plays to me is the way that probably I used to play too, because it is a between. It is like right in the middle, like a classical thing. And then like this, that is like a
he's all like pulgar and index.
And then you can see that like because this is like a Mark Knopfler thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Between classical and then this like a country stuff.
Yeah, I'm all middle and index when I do that. The pulgar, the thumb is tough for me.
Movement.
I'm getting better with it, but he does it mostly because he'll just go down, up and down.
That's his main instrument. I've never seen him play anything but a nylon string. I mean, that's
what he does. Yeah, me too. It is hard. And some cats that we need to transcribe are insane, like Lagerlund and Neerfelder. When Jacob sent to me, like, okay, could you transcribe these, like...
the Neerfelder stuff?
Not the Neerfelder. The Lagi was...
Oh, Lagerlund?
It was a piece, like was not a Messiaen piece. Maybe it was a Messiaen piece.
It was either like Messiaen or I think it was a Messiaen piece.
Right? I think that it was.
He played a classical piece, like
The classical piece. And I didn't write before. And then when Jacob sent to me, like, could you do that? And I start to think, like, how can I do that with a lot of rubato and things, but When the cool thing it is when you just stop to do and see the chart and see the video, the whole thing makes sense.
It's interesting just to see, you know, how people create their styles and what they do. Some people like Peter Bernstein would use more bebop language. Mm-hmm. And so if you're comfortable with bebop language, those lines will make more sense. Of course, Peter will throw a ton of wrenches, and he's unbelievable and unpredictable. Mm-hmm. But the Nelson is coming almost from a classical meets jazz thing, which is very big intervals, and it's very, and even the way Neer plays, his lines are very strange. You know, you're not used to hearing them. So you have to wait a second. You know, what is that? Because it's like, you know, like these crazy lines. So, you know, I think whenever you hear something that's different, it's always hard to transcribe, you know.
Oh, man. Yeah. To transcribe, like, some guys are ridiculous hard to transcribe. Yeah. And Neer was that, because the lines was like
it's very intervallic.
Very intervallic, and you need really to pay attention. And guys like Pasquale Grasso too.
Because, of course.
Come on.
and that's actually more like
linear
hard bop, like Bud Powell, like bebop, but it's still like impossible to do that on a guitar. You know?
Yeah. It does it like a pianist.
Yeah, he plays like a piano player. It's unbelievable. It's like,
And when he
plays those double stops, when he's just like,
and I can't understand that, but has some things that sometimes when you need to transcribe, you need to play, of course.
Yeah.
And I need to, and I played these whole lines. When I start to play, I start thinking, oh man, how can I do that? Because it's super hard.
He stretches too. Like he'll stretch like 6 frets.
Yeah.
But it has, you know, from chord to line is like so effortless for him.
That's classical. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's, and he has big hands, I think. I mean,
he does, but he really worked on using them. Like,
but of course, his
technique is flawless.
I'm very curious about that because I don't remember. I met Gilad Hexelman one time, but I don't remember if he saw or not. But I was transcribing the chords, and Gilad plays like one chord that I was not able to do.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to play the chord.
It's like the Ben Maunder video.
Oh man, the Ben Maunder was deep.
Yeah, because whenever people have bought that video from us and they're just like, well, my hands aren't like, they're like half the size of his hand and he's playing something that is impossible. It's like a 10 fret chord, you know? But you know, it is, everyone has their thing. And that's why music's so interesting. Because, you know, Gilad and Lage, Peter Bernstein, Bruce Foreman, Bobby Broom, who's coming up, and Peter Mazza, like, they all have different things that make them unique. And that's why music is so cool. And it's great that, like, I don't know. I think that the light at the end of the tunnel here with COVID is that you're able to at least do work like this that enriches you, you know what I mean? And you get paid for it. And you don't have to play a gig that you don't want to do. And you're basically practicing or maybe getting some ideas for when you write or play, right? I mean.
Sure. Every time I try to transcribe the class and not check again.
Yeah.
Because I felt so influenced for these guys that I would like to transcribe and go super deep, like 10, 15 or 20 hours. Yeah, and I do, and I play, and then I just forgot and put on the like side. Like, I don't want to see this class again because I understand, but I don't want to play like this guy play. Of course that I will do stole some some concepts and some ideas because I saw the video and I transcribed the whole video. But I think actually, in my point of view, if people can buy the classes and can study like deep the classes, people will learn a lot because I learned a lot doing that. It's a good
The more you use that stuff, the more it's just going to be you and not sound like them.
Sure.
Like people worry about that, but that's not possible. Like you will never sound like someone. Like the more you do it, the more you're just going to make it your own.
That's the point that I say to my students.
Yeah.
If you are afraid with the transcriptions, like I will transcribe and I start to play like this guy, your art is so fragile that you cannot receive information that you stole from someone. It's not,
no.
It doesn't work in this way.
No, I mean, because if you can't take a line from Sonny Rollins or George Benson or, you know, Lage Lund or Kurt Rosenwinkel or any of those people or Michael Brecker, they're all so different, right? If you take a line from any of it, if you were just to play like one of those people, then, and you, all you wanted to do is sound like them, of course, but integrating vocabulary is just hearing how that musician did it. And everyone does that. You know, I talked to Seamus Blake when we were doing the masterclass he put together, and Seamus was talking about transcribing Sonny Rollins, and like, and Bob Shepard did the same thing where he said like he tried to sound exactly like that when he would play it with the transcription, but it doesn't mean that carries over and he sounds like Sonny Rollins. It just means that he wanted to deeply understand what he was doing, and then it just helps you do your own thing, you know. You got to use your ears when it's all said and done.
It's a language. It just doesn't work like that. Like, I don't sound like my parents. You know what I mean? And like, I learned English from them. I'm just me. Like, tonally, I'm different. Like, I get excited about different. Like, it's such a, like you said, it's a fragile thing. it's so complex, you know, like you can't really do things the same way someone else can. It's just not possible. Plus the music is so complicated that unless you literally play the same song with the same band members from that recording and then just did their licks line by line, then yeah, you'd sound like them, but that's never going to happen. When is that going to happen? You know, that's why karaoke is karaoke. That's what you do with karaoke, you know,
or you get inspired by random things. And like, for instance, we talked about Pasquale Grasso. When you listen to Pasquale, he sounds incredibly fresh because he's playing something so unique to his instrument. But I mean, a lot of the vocabulary, it's like we said, it's his love is definitely in like the Bud Powell, like Charlie Parker era, you know, like Barry Harris, of course, and
it's
all that
filling
stuff.
In, it's diminished. It's just amazing.
It's
like,
very bebop
shit.
Oriented, but it's it's also so unique how he put it together. So,
well, his flourishes will never be, you know, they're totally different.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like Chopin, like the way Chopin would do, you know, his like flourishing. It's
why music's different. Beautiful, because there's room in the world for people that do everything. There's room in the world for people who can do solo concerts and completely mesmerize you, like a Keith Jarrett or, you know, Chick Corea or those people. And then there's room for all the amazing sidemen in the world that are just
amazing. And then there's me.
Then there's you? What do you mean? What are you good at, Jay?
We gotta scale it down a little bit, you know? Scale it down. Bring it down.
What are you good at, Jake?
I can play solo piano. I just don't know that, you know, it should be in front of anybody.
You can play it solo.
I don't know at all how to play piano. I just play like in chicken feet, like chords like that.
Exactly.
Oh, dude, Ari's doing his first piano gig. He's
really?
Doing a trio gig. He's playing piano. Yep.
Ari can
play. I think it's either like right now or this week sometime.
So someone finally passed the Ari Honig micro-credential for rhythm training. He's the first person ever to pass. Yeah. And we're very excited because it's so hard to do that no one has passed yet, except for this one person. And we'll shout him out on social media soon. All right, man. So be well and be healthy. And I hope you and your wife and your dog, right? Dog, of course.
Yeah, I have two dogs. I have one new dog here. A puppy. The most cool thing about the dog, it is the name of the dog. Because the name of the dog here in Brazil, it is Guilherme. It's Guilherme Garcia.
Nice.
But the nickname is Gig. Because when people try to book a gig that I don't would like to do, I can say, I cannot do because I have a gig.
Nice. That's awesome.
What is that dog in Portuguese? It's a perro in Espanol.
No, it is a cachorro.
Oh, it's totally
cachorro.
Different.
Cachorro.
Oh, there you go.
Cool.
I'm learning something new every day. I'll call you next time I need a Portuguese lesson, which will be in a couple hours.
I'm here.
All right, brother. Have a all good right, one, bro. Man. And we will talk
you
soon.
Too.
Good luck with the Peter Mazza class. That's a beast, too. And if you need any, we'll get you some. I'll ship you some alcohol to keep you, like, you know, calm.
Okay. Thanks, bro. See you guys later.
Thanks, man. Questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail? You can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformerspathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast, with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. So we look forward to hearing from you.